Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Right Tool for the Right Job department here at Car Talk Plaza.
You know, once in a while, with all the computers in cars and high-tech sensors and stuff, we have to wonder, are we still relevant?
What do you mean still? Were we ever relevant?
Well, I don't know. But every once in a while, something in the do-it-yourself realm comes along that makes me feel like, you know, we can still help people. There are people out there who need us, and here's one such story. I'll tell you what happened to this guy. It was sent to us by about 50 different listeners last week.
Okay.
Here it is. Associated Press, Dateline, Seattle, Washington. Beep, 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 beep. Now, get this. This is a true story.
I'm sure it is.
A man trying to loosen a stubborn lug nut blasted the wheel with a 12-gauge shotgun, injuring himself in both legs, sheriff's deputies said. The 66-year-old man had been repairing a Lincoln Continental for 2 weeks at his house. He had gotten all but one of the lug nuts off on the right rear wheel by Saturday afternoon. Quote, "He was bound and determined to get that lug nut off," County Deputy Scott Wilson said. From about arm's length, This is the guy standing there now, right? From about arm's length, the man fired the shotgun at the wheel and was peppered in both legs with buckshot and debris, with some injuries as high as his chin. So he stands there, fires the thing, and all hell breaks loose.
Well, you know, frustration is a terrible thing.
Wilson said, "Nobody else was there, and he wasn't intoxicated." The man was taken to Tacoma General Hospital with injuries Wilson described as severe but not life-threatening.
Not life-threatening? Really embarrassing, though.
Well, you see, we could have helped this guy. If he had called us and said, blah, 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 we would have told him, take two steps back before firing the gun at the lug nut.
Or stand behind the bale of hay or something. But the important question is, did the lug nut come off?
We don't know. We don't know that.
We don't know. I mean, it might have just been obliterated. And I wouldn't have used a shotgun.
Oh, no. What was he thinking?
No. I would have used, I think I would have used a revolver, maybe a .38 caliber revolver. Well, the chances of you getting
hit. Why not just heating it up?
No. It was not so much getting it off that was the issue. It was getting back at it. For two weeks, this one lug nut had frustrated him.
Yeah, I mean, and he didn't want to get it off.
He wanted to put a hurting on that lug nut. Anyway, if you think we can put a hurting on your car, give us a call. Our number
You could see how he must have felt, though.
Yeah. Your wits end and you don't know what to do.
How many computers have suffered the same problem?
Oh, exactly. Oh, look, if you have a question, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Denise, and I'm calling from Walnut Creek, California.
Hi, Denise. How are you?
Walnut Creek, yeah.
Doing well, thanks.
Where is Walnut Creek?
It's just east of San Francisco.
Okay. So what's up?
I've got a 99 Honda Accord with a V6. Uh-huh. And a couple of weeks ago, my husband and I drove up to the mountains for the weekend. And my husband decided not to get gas on the way up. So we got up there, spent the weekend, and we went to go home, started the car, and it ran out of gas.
What were the first two words out of your mouth when?
You're kidding.
Okay, so go ahead.
So we're 5 miles from the closest gas station.
Oh, man.
And we realize we have a chainsaw and gas for the chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. But the chainsaw gas has oil mixed in with it.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares? Throw it in anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what my husband said.
How bad can it be? Good for him.
So we put the chainsaw gas in the car, and we drive to the gas station. It starts.
Sure.
But when we get to the gas station and put it in park, the car is making this really weird noise.
Sure, who cares?
We're 150 miles from home. I cared. So as we're sitting there, and my husband says, "Oh, it's just running out of gas again." But it's idling at about 1,000 RPMs. and it keeps kicking up to about 1,500. And every time it does it, it goes, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
And we put gas in the car, fill up the tank, and we drive home. But it still does that every time you put it in either park or in neutral.
How much gas and oil did you put in?
About a gallon.
So there was a gallon of gas that had the right amount of oil mixed in with it for this two-cycle chainsaw engine.
Right.
You know, it could be, some of them are 20 to 1, some 40 to 1, some are 50. So it's not a whole lot of oil.
Well, it wasn't really measured when it was done, when the chainsaw mix was done.
So it could have been 1 to 1.
And it sat there most of the summer.
Uh-huh. I think that might have been more of the problem, that it was old gas.
Yeah.
Old gas with way too much oil mixed in with it.
Yeah.
And I think you probably fouled the spark plug.
Really?
Yeah. I would think, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. And the thing had run perfectly up until that point.
Yes.
Well, let's go back a step. What was your husband's rationale for not getting gas in Walnut Creek?
Yeah.
And trying to drive up to the mountains where certainly gas would be more expensive and less available. What was his rationale?
Wait a minute. It's none of your business.
I need to know.
It's none of your business.
It might be relevant to the answer.
You're only going to get the guy in trouble.
Exactly.
He's already in trouble.
He's already in trouble. I knew it. See that?
Well, I think he had like 3/4 of a tank when we left, and he figured we'd get gas on the way. But then on the way, he realized that the gas was so much more expensive that then he didn't want to fill it up.
Right.
Oh, he was trying to save $3. Or maybe a dollar.
He was trying to save a buck.
Yeah, he was trying to save a nickel a gallon or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. A nickel a gallon, and that's 20 gallons is a dollar.
Tell him when he's not doing anything to take out the spark plugs, clean them off, put them back in, and everything's going to be fine.
Okay, no problem with fuel injectors or catalytic converters or anything like that.
He's in enough trouble already. I hate to suggest that he might have done damage to either one of those things, but I don't think so. I mean, I think if it hasn't changed at all, it's very likely that a plug got fouled.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I suppose the worst-case scenario is one of the injectors is plugged up.
Okay.
In which case, before you go ahead and spend a lot of money, I'd throw in a couple of cans of that fuel injector cleaner.
Okay.
But I'm rooting for it being a fouled spark plug.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, throw some fuel injector cleaner in. If that doesn't work, start looking for a new husband. See you, Denise.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is David from Schwenkville, Pennsylvania.
Did you say Schwenkville?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
S-C-H-W-E-N-K-S-ville.
Oh, Schwenksville.
Yes.
Schwenksville. Named after somebody named Schwenk.
Could be.
All right.
What part of PA is it?
That is north of Philadelphia, about 20 miles.
Why, including this in your vacation plans this summer or what, Tommy?
No, I'm just trying to place it somewhere.
Schwenksville. I like
near Philadelphia is a lot different from the other end of the state.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, David, what's up?
Well, I have a Honda Accord EX 1999 that has a windshield wiper problem.
Yeah.
The problem is that I basically only have two speeds, fast and whipping mode. Well, I mean, this thing whips so hard that it literally could be used to chuck clay pigeons for trap shooters. I mean, it moving from the air intake at the hood all the way past the windshield upright. It literally shoots off the edge, tearing up the wiper blade.
So the fast speed is much, much faster than it used to be.
Exactly.
And is the slow speed also faster than it used to be?
It appears to be, but I think that may be a function of the fact that it whips off the side of the car.
I mean, the wiper blade's coming around and cleaning the passenger side window too, right? Is that basically what's happening?
It's going from the air intake and cleaning the neighbor's car.
Wow. How long has it been doing this?
It just started that, actually.
Good.
The last time it rained, I noticed it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And you had no hint of it before this?
No.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, rather than take it someplace, you decided to call us first.
Well, every time that I've asked somebody if they could figure out what the problem is, all they do is say, here's my hourly wage. We'll be glad to look at it.
Yeah. Jeez,
well, someone's going to have to do that.
Well, someone's going to have to take it apart, but I have a funny feeling that it's unlikely to be the motor. I think
it's not the motor.
No.
Okay.
It's linkage.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's something called the wiper transmission.
Okay.
And the wiper transmission somehow has gotten out of whack, and it's probably just worn out.
So may need to replace the transmission.
You need to replace the
wiper
transmission, and it's something that you could probably do yourself. You could go to a Honda dealer and buy the thing.
Right.
Are you fairly handy?
Yes.
Good.
You have tools, too.
A few.
You have patience.
Well, I'm a stay-at-home dad with two boys.
Okay.
Young.
So you know what?
How old are these boys?
Well, one's 3 weeks and one's 3.5.
Wow.
Patience is a learned trait.
Yes.
Okay. They're small enough that you can tie them up so they won't bother you.
I'm a mechanical engineer, so
excellent.
Basically I understand destructive testing.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the problem with being a mechanical engineer is your wife going to consider you a failure if you can't fix this yourself?
Because yes.
Yeah.
Wait. How's she going to know you're trying?
Well, she's at work. I'll be fixing it.
Yeah.
But when she comes home and you're sitting there with the car in pieces and you're crying, she's going to know that you failed. So you may want to take it someplace.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm rethinking doing it yourself. I would take it someplace and suggest to them that it's the wiper transmission.
Well, it's a starting point.
All right. Good luck, David.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Dude, see ya.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nicole calling from Missouri.
Just Missouri?
I live in Illinois. I work in Missouri. I'm right on the borderline.
Oh, so you're calling from Missouri.
I'm calling from Missouri, yes.
Okay. But your residence is in Illinois.
Right, yes.
Okay. So,
and my thing is, I have a 2003 Pontiac Aztec. When I'm coming to work, I'm coming off the highway, slowing down to a stop sign, and in the back of my car, like where you would think the spare tire goes, it comes down like a ka-dunk, 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 ka-dunk. As I'm slowing down, like the thumping gets slower.
Ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. And it's in step with the rotation of the
wheel.
Right, and it's when I'm turning is when it does it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like when I turn, it goes like something's knocking and hit like dragging on something.
Oh, a different kind of sound.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it doesn't do the same Wheel of Fortune sound.
Oh, so when you're slowing down, you gotta.
It's like the Wheel of Fortune, like a
yeah.
Yes. So it sounds like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our Wheel of Misfortune.
Yeah. Right. That's what it sounds like in mine.
But when you turn, you get a similar noise.
Yeah, I get like a draggy noise.
A draggy noise.
Yeah.
So both noises are coming from the back.
Yeah, it sounds like where the spare tire goes up underneath is where it sounds like the thumpy Wheel of Fortune goes.
Uh-huh. Have you ever looked to see if the spare tire is thumping around under there?
No, I haven't checked. I mean, I took my foot and like kicked it and it didn't wobble.
Well, that's good. No, if this noise is regular, in other words, if when you're going 20 miles an hour, it's twice as frequent as when you're going 10 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
then it is something absolutely related to the rotation of the tires,
mm-hmm.
right? And it isn't something like a loose spare tire because it wouldn't be that predictable and regular.
Right.
You know, so it sounds like you have a warped disc rotor in the back.
You think so?
You could have it, or a wheel's falling off.
That happened once.
There
so
you
don't
go.
Say that.
It might be getting ready to happen again.
Right. No, that was completely different. Like my wheel doesn't shake or anything. That one happened. My wheel shook really bad. And
well, if it's a front wheel that's falling off,
mm-hmm.
your steering wheel will shake really badly. But if it's a back wheel that's getting ready to fall off, it usually won't shake badly.
I should check my lug nuts.
You might want to check your. Let me check my brother's every day. he's missing two. But you should check your lug nuts just to be on the safe side. But if you determine that they're nice and tight, then you should take it someplace. I think you could have a hung up brake.
So I should take it to the dealer.
Not necessarily the dealer, but you should take it to a mechanic.
Right. Okay.
And how long has this been going on?
I just got the car a couple months ago, and it didn't do it, of course, when I test drove it, but after I actually paid for it is when it happened.
Oh, so you bought this from an individual?
Yeah, I bought it from a lot, but it's just a small lot in a town of like 100 people. There's not like a...
Yeah.
So.
And you didn't go back to the guy and
No, I could, and he'd probably be really nice about it and try to help me, but it's... like an hour from where I live. So.
Well, you know what you do? You go and you find out what it's going to cost to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something simple and it's going to cost you $100, you don't bother. But if it's going to be big, I think you should go back and see this guy. I mean, part of what you buy when you buy a used car is a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the laws are. You bought it in
Illinois.
I don't know what the laws are in Illinois insofar as consumer protection. But in most states, you know, consumers have some kind of rights.
Right.
You know, but you may be those rights may have expired while you were waiting for this noise to go away. but if they didn't, then maybe you have some recourse.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I will try those things.
Okay. See you, Nicole.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Hey, look, do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
No, I don't. So I'll require a memory jogging hint of some kind, if you don't mind.
All right. The puzzler had to do with model names.
Oh, yeah, like Giselle or Tyra or maybe Twiggy.
No, not that kind of model. Car model names.
All right, all right. Less interesting, but all right.
The puzzler was about the rarest species of car model names, plural nouns. And we'll be back with the whole story.
Yeah, and we'll take more of your calls, too, so please stay tuned.
Every Sunday morning, I'm out there with my car. I've fondled to the bumper. Some would say I've gone too far. Put it on like frosting, a little at a time. I've a Bondo technique I can truly say is mine. Bondo queen, Bondo girl, Bondo babe, that's cool. It's now my life's ambition. I'm a Bondo fool.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new bestseller, 1,000 Repairs to Pay for Before You Die, from NPR, NPR member stations, and
the Pajamagram Company, sending pajamas for a variety of seasons and reasons, delivered in gift packaging. Learn more at pajamagram.com. And
Allstate, who offers accident forgiveness, part of Your Choice Auto,
which was probably invented by some guy with a teenage driver like mine in his house.
More information at allstate.com/teen. Are you in good hands? And
the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org.
And even though crash test dummies sue to have radios removed from test cars whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was sent in by a fellow named Charlie Sona from Cliffwood Beach, New Jersey, and he wrote the following. Dear Click and Clack, I was just watching a car commercial, and it reminded me of an old puzzler of yours. Some years ago, you asked listeners to name the only car model that happens to be a plural noun.
Oh.
Now I should remind people.
There's only one.
Well, that's what we thought at the time. I should remind people that cars have two names. There's a make and a model. So take the Honda Accord. Honda is the make. Accord is the model. And the vast majority of all model names are singular, like Buick Enclave, Ford Mustang, Dodge Charger. It's not Buick Enclaves or Ford Mustangs, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're singular.
Singular.
Well, when we came up with the original puzzler, we had one model in mind that was a plural noun. That model is still sold today. It's been on sale for like 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And to our surprise back then, our one listener came up with another model that we hadn't thought of that was a plural noun. Uh-huh. And that car is no longer being sold. And now we've noticed that there is yet another plural noun model name on the market. And this one was introduced in the year 2000. And here's the question. What are the three models? One of them is no longer made. It disappeared in the 2002 model year. Another one, our original, has been around since the late 80s and is still sold today. And the third one has only been around since the year 2000.
Hmm. Wow.
And by way of an admittedly measly hint, I said that if you got one of them, you'll get the other two pretty easily because they have something in common.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, the original one was the Nissan Maxima, which is the plural of maximum, not an English word. I mean,
but
originally,
a plural nonetheless.
Nonetheless,
yeah.
The one that is no longer made is the Acura Integra, which is the plural of integer. Now we didn't know that. We had some astute listener, and the model that's currently being sold, the other one that's being sold that's a plural, is the Kia Spectra.
Yeah.
Which is the plural of Spectrum. Now, there was another car that kind of sneaked in the intervening years, the Mazda Millennia. But it was never a legitimate contender because they spelled it incorrectly.
Yeah. We only had one N.
Do we have a winner?
You bet we have a winner. The winner is Claudia Ellis from Vero Beach, Florida. And for having her answer selected at random from among the compost heap of correct answers that we got.
Oh, well.
Claudia is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get any of our brand new 20th anniversary items.
Well, they're not actually new. For our 20th anniversary of not being canceled, we brought back the original designs from the first early days of our show on NPR.
You think we're old enough now to go nostalgic?
I got news for you. There's nothing we're not old enough for.
Well, this design, for those of you who weren't there back in the day, is the Car Talk logo with greasy fingerprints factory installed. The T-shirt comes with greasy fingerprints printed right on them.
Oh, yeah, it'll drive your dry cleaner crazy.
Anyway, something from the 20th anniversary collection is yours, Claudia, for being this week's Puzzler winner. Congratulations.
And don't forget to ask for your free Car Talk Plaza parking permit. It won't help you park anywhere, but it can cover up some bird droppings on your window, you know? Anyway, stay tuned for another chance to win in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, here we are at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Evelyn from Philadelphia.
Evelyn!
Hi, Evelyn. What's up?
Well, I have a Hyundai Elantra. It's a manual transmission. And I've noticed that since moving to Philadelphia, I'm driving in a lot of stop-and-go traffic. Uh-huh. And it seems that after about 15 minutes or so, I'm having a lot of trouble starting up out of first gear. The car shakes and shudders, and it's making this horrible noise like it's going to stall. And then when I get into second gear, everything's okay. And if I shut the car down and go into the store or something and come back out, yeah, it doesn't do that anymore. So my question is it a problem with my car, or am I just getting tired and lazy and having some poor technique?
But otherwise, it runs okay. If you were to drive at 30 miles an hour, 40, it's okay. It's just taking off from a dead stop.
Right, just in first.
And it will continue to do this after 15 to 20 minutes?
Yes, and it gets worse and worse and worse as I go. But then if I just stop the car, let it rest, I guess, and go in the store and come out.
How long a rest does it and or you need here?
Maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, geez. I mean,
what year is this car?
It's 2003.
And how many miles are on it?
30,000.
30,000.
And when you explain to us again,
yes,
what precisely it does. So you stopped at a light.
Okay, so I'm stopped.
There are no feet on any pedals except the brake.
And the clutch.
Oh, when you're stopped at a light, you keep your foot on the clutch in anticipation.
I do.
Oh, that's okay. That's a mistake.
Oh, okay.
But that's all right. That's all right.
Okay. Okay, so then I go to take off. I put my foot on the gas and gently let up on the clutch. And
it starts going crazy.
And it starts shuddering like it's going to stall.
Does it ever stall?
No.
Does anything change in so far as where the pedal engages? In other words, you know, typically when you let your foot off the clutch,
you have the same idea that I do.
Oh, I hope not. But when you lift your foot off the clutch pedal, where does it engage? When it's behaving well, when you're happy with it, does it engage in a different place?
Well, I feel like it engages a little bit sooner.
A little bit closer to the floor.
Right.
When it's good or when it's bad?
When it's good.
And it engages a little bit higher.
That kills my answer.
When it's crazy.
Yes.
Well, it could be one of several things. You could
think it's the clutch.
Well, it could be. What specifically with the clutch, however, is that you could have oil on the clutch.
Yeah.
Or you could have, there could be something wrong with the anti-chatter springs on the clutch. Every clutch disc has a bunch of springs that surround the center hub of the clutch where the shaft of the transmission goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And those springs are designed to keep this very thing from happening, okay, when you let your foot off the clutch. Now, but in order for that to be the case, something would have to happen, I think, to your technique.
Uh-huh.
So my gut feeling is that you're more of the problem.
Uh-oh.
Maybe. Well, here's what you have to do. The next time it's doing this for you, have a passenger. Is anyone willing to ride with you, or is your driving technique so bad that you've lost all your friends?
Well, I do provide a helmet just in case.
Well, if you had another driver step into your place,
uh-huh,
that person could say, oh, there's nothing wrong with this, or, oh, there's something terribly wrong with this.
I see.
Oh, I think the latter is going to be.
There's something wrong.
There is something wrong.
Well, it could be that there's something wrong with either the slave or the master cylinder, but my real gut feeling is the problem is
right inside.
Is oil or something on the clutch. And by the time the thing heats up, that's when it starts to chatter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy to happen.
Well, I mean, there has to be a leak either from the transmission or from the engine, and in either case,
but
it can happen.
The car's only got 30,000 miles on it.
Yeah, well, it could be.
But wait a minute. The car is 4 years old, and it's only got 30,000 miles on it?
Yeah. It's true. I'm a walker.
How do you do after 15 minutes of walking? Do you find yourself wobbling and tripping over your own feet?
Well, sometimes I can't get started, but after I get there, we're okay.
But unfortunately, they're gonna have to take the whole mess apart.
I think you first have to determine if it's you or the car, and the best way to determine that is to have someone else drive it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's gonna be exactly the same with someone else.
I don't think so.
And you don't?
No. Nope. I think another person's gonna say, Evelyn,
it's you.
You need an automatic transmission next time. Anyway, we'll be eager to find out how you make out.
All right, but call us back because my brother's wrong.
Okay, I will definitely update you.
See you, Evelyn.
Yeah, you can do
bye-bye.
It right now. Just go out.
Yes, flag somebody down. Call us back in half an hour.
All right, I will.
See you. Great. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to freeze the leftover turkey enchiladas?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if he or she got good advice.
And if so, where it came from, because it wasn't from us. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Jonna from Moscow, Idaho. Remember her?
Yeah, I do remember Jonna from a few weeks ago, right?
Exactly right. Jonna called us because her 93 Corolla was starting to act its age.
Yeah, when are you going to start acting your age?
When I go over about 40... and I have my foot on the gas pedal, and if I would take my foot off the gas pedal, there's a thumping noise in my car. But I found if I, ease my foot off the gas, there's not a thump.
There's a lot
of vibrating, too.
So it only happens just at that moment that you take your foot off the gas.
Yeah.
And tell me about the thump again. What's it like?
It's in the front of the car.
Yeah.
And it's thump.
Wait, is it or a thump? Because an is not a thump.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Which is it? Is it the or the thump?
No, it's a thump.
And it just occurs that one time. So if you quickly take your foot off the gas, you're more likely to get a boom. As opposed to if you gently back off in the gas, you might get a boom.
You got it.
Well, I got it, but I ain't got it.
Well, did we ever get it?
Well, I think we got it.
Well, we decided it was a bad ball joint, and we told her to stop driving it immediately and bring it to the mechanic, even though he was going to find a million other things wrong with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see how we did. Jonna, are you there?
I'm here, guys.
Look, before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
It's true.
And the answer that you're about to give us has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the 1,000-watt subwoofer we sent you to drown out that thumping noise.
No, not at all.
So, Jonna, did you take it right in?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good. Good. At least you took that part of our advice. Yeah, and what happened? What did they find? How many thousands of things did they find wrong with it?
Oh, there was a mess of things wrong.
We knew that.
Was one of them a ball joint?
No.
Oh. Was one of them a motor mount?
No. That was a good guess, though, because initially I thought that, or the mechanic thought that.
Yeah. And did they find it?
And yes. And I just wanted, I thought you all would appreciate this. My mechanic's name is Charles Capone.
Charles, yeah.
Must be a relative.
it was an axle.
An axle? That was one of my, you have a bad constant velocity joint on the, that was one of my.
But they don't thump.
Well,
It's more,
well, usually they go click, 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 click.
Yeah,
click,
it's more metallic.
Thump.
It's a more metallic sound.
Yeah.
See, a thump is a dead sound. But a metallic sound is much different.
Yeah. I think you led us astray.
You did leave us.
And
as often
the case, that's why we come up with the wrong answer. If your listeners would get your facts right.
I will not accept failure for this one because a thump is a thump.
So
and if that thing makes a thump, I'll eat it.
Well,
it is not a
mustard
thump.
Or, you want mustard or mayonnaise on it? By the way, is this the end for this car, or is it going in for? Is this some kind of hospice treatment, or what is it?
Well, the vibrating is gone.
Yeah.
But the timing belt was put on wrong, whoever put it on before I had the car. There's a leaking rack and pinion unit, and the struts are bad.
Oh, so it's going to be about $3,500. Anyway, Uncle Charlie, you've done good. Good luck, Jonna.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Are you going to fix all this stuff?
I think so.
Of course.
Good for you.
Well, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Why wait? Call and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sam. I'm in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. How are you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Sam?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. I drive a 1999 new Jetta standard. And about a week and a half ago, I got an oil change, and then the next day was the coldest day we've had here in Pennsylvania. It was the first frost of the year.
Yeah.
And that day, this thumping noise started under my car. It sounded like I was...
You sure it was a thump?
Oh, I'm positive it's a thump. It sounds as though I'm running over something, like something is bumping underneath my car every time I change gears. It's coming from directly under the stick shift. I can feel it in the armrest.
And it's once...
It was once. The first day it was just once, but then by the second day it was bump, 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 and then by the third day it was turning into this more steady vibration that happens both when I change gears and when I step on the gas. If I'm like already in fifth and I step on the gas,
yeah,
I'll hear a steady vibration. The sound relieves a bit as the car warms up.
And this happened after you had the oil change done.
After I had the oil change.
I think they're unrelated.
All right.
Yeah.
But I feel very strongly that it's an axle.
Oh!
If you had your hand on the floor of the car, do you think you could feel something hitting?
Absolutely, I can feel it coming straight through the car up into the armrest.
Uh huh.
So describe again when it does it.
Every time I change gears, I'll change gears, and then I feel that bump. I hear that thump. And
it's when you change gears, but when you go to accelerate in that gear. In other words, when you're letting the clutch out.
Exactly. And that was on the first day, if I let the clutch out really, really slowly and carefully, it wouldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you have a broken motor mount.
Okay.
Which is, I think, one of the things we told Jonna, too.
Yeah. We were wrong with her.
I think that was answer 21B. But it sounds like you have a broken motor mount, and maybe what you're hearing is either the exhaust system hitting the underbody of the car. Because it would cause the motor, a bad mount would cause the motor to move, especially when you were accelerating.
Gotcha.
And you call this a new Jetta.
Yeah.
And what is new about an 8-year-old car?
Oh, it's certainly not new to me.
Oh.
I think that was the model when it came out.
Oh, the new Jetta.
Oh.
Right. To differentiate it from the old lousy Jetta, they wanted to make it.
it's still an old lousy Jetta.
It's still a lousy Jetta.
If you take it to your mechanic, he'll throw up the hood. And he'll see it immediately.
Great.
Yeah, I think you can do is, and you can experiment with this, is you can, I'll have your mechanic do it, with the hood open, if you set the handbrake and then put the thing in gear and then let the clutch out like you're trying to drive it, but it won't go because the handbrake is on, or it shouldn't go.
And we hope it works.
And we hope the handbrake works, but
yeah,
that's why you want him to do it and not you. You'll be able to reproduce the thumping without moving the vehicle.
Great.
Okay, if it is the motor mount. And you'll see someone who knows what it should look like will notice the motor moving excessively.
All right.
All right, good luck. And try to do this before the engine falls out on the street.
Because
it's a lot more expensive after that happens. See you, Sam.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, look, we have to take a break.
Yeah, and when we come back, what will you have for us?
What do you mean, what'll I have for you? What am I, the butler?
Well, I don't know about the lure part, but the butt part is okay.
All right, that's enough. We'll be back in just a minute with more of your car questions and a brand new automotive puzzler.
Wow, please stay tuned.
In the back, you may
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from sales of our Winter Lug Nut Wars from NPR, NPR member stations, and
the Wallace Foundation, supporting ideas, sharing solutions, expanding opportunities, on the web at wallacefoundation.org. And
Allstate, who reminds you to pay more attention to the road and less attention to loud, obnoxious, overbearing distractions from the passenger seat. More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, helping to build a more just future for the nation and the world at macfound.org.
And even though Carl Castle starts unloading his entire NPR cufflink collection on eBay whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
The new automotive puzzler.
Yeah. You know, people...
Go for it,
baby. We get calls from time to time by people saying, geez, you know, the show is Car Talk, and you have all these esoteric puzzles and mathematics, logic, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have a good old-fashioned automotive puzzler. And so
I
plucked this one from the pile of automotive puzzles.
Excellent.
And this was sent in fairly recently, like almost just about a year ago. By a fellow named Roy Strong, and I had to monkey with it a little
Where's
bit.
Where's he from?
I don't know. He's...
Where'd you get his name? That's close enough.
Yeah, he's from the Midwest someplace, I think.
Oh, sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
Back in the 60s, a mechanic I knew had a gas station repair shop, which meant that many of his customers' cars were left outside in the lot overnight. He had some stolen and couldn't protect them from the hot wire thieves that came at night. You know, back in the old days, before we had things like steering column locks and the like, hot wiring a car and driving it away was a pretty easy thing to do.
Sure, the hood's never locked.
No.
Couldn't do that.
So he came up with a quick, simple, and effective way to discourage them. He would pop the hood, reach under the hood, and in a few seconds render the car unstartable. The neat thing was that if one tried to start it, it would seem to want to start. It would cough and hit on an occasional cylinder, like boom, 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 boom. And even if they opened the hood, examination under there revealed nothing obvious, so the would-be crooks assumed that that's why the car was in for repair.
Yeah.
The next morning, he would reach under the hood, and in 10 seconds or less, have the car running.
Cool.
The question is, what was he doing? And it's pretty cute.
I mean, just a little time.
A little thing, a few seconds. He'd reach under the hood.
A few seconds.
And he would do the same thing to just about every car.
Really?
Yeah, and these are cars that would presumably be coming in for a brake job or a muffler or some such thing.
Sure.
And the thieves, of course, would move on because they figure, wow, that's what it's here for. It's obviously not starting. We're not going to fool around with this.
We're not going to steal this one.
We're not going to steal this one because it doesn't run very well. And they'd move to the next one on the next one. And they'd say, gee, he's got a bunch of cars here that don't start. And they'd move on. Now, you got it?
I got it, man.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the rental contract for a four-bedroom villa on the island of Provo in the Turks and Caicos for Christmas and New Year's weeks. You know, that whole vacation period there.
Yeah.
Featuring, of course, ocean view, infinity pool, maid service, and a two-week supply of poker chips. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza. Oh, attention, Louis Cronin. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Louis. Good work, Louis.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. It's Laura from Santa Barbara. How are you?
Laura.
Hi, Laura from Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara.
I have a special Ford Escort we call the POS model.
Oh, POS. I know. We know what that means.
And it's decided that when I put it into, it's an automatic, but when I put it into the gears, like drive, reverse, real complicated stuff, it kind of, like if I put it in reverse, it doesn't really go into reverse until a couple seconds later, and it really throws itself into the gear.
Ah.
But the other day, when what actually prompted me to call you guys is I was at a stop sign, and I accelerated to go, and it didn't want to go from, I guess, probably like first into second, and it jumped all the way and like revved really hard and probably jumped into like third or maybe even fourth, and it really scared me. It kind of stalled out, but then when I pushed the gas, it kind of fixed itself and kept going, but it keeps happening. And so I'm a little afraid. I really hate this car. My ex left it to me. Yeah.
Ah.
He's not one of my favorite people.
Yeah, you no, think? I mean, what do you expect?
And how
a
long,
Lincoln Continental?
How long have you had this car now, Laura?
Since your breakup.
A year.
Yeah.
Oh, a year. But it's been running fine until recently?
Well, for the most part, I've been really good about changing its oil, and I had to, about maybe 3 months ago, I had to put a new battery in it. But really, I've had to do no maintenance because he was a mechanic.
Ah.
So he did all the maintenance. So it's got 93,000 miles on it.
Does your ex still live in the Santa Barbara area? Do you run into him at all?
No, he is. He's in the area.
He's in the area. So there's.
And you do bump into him occasionally?
I walked into his wedding.
He just walks into a wedding.
I swear to God, he got married out in this public courtyard. That's very, like, it's a very famous place that people go, you can't reserve it.
Yeah.
And I was headed to a wine tasting event, and not kidding you at all, I walked through the courtyard, and I looked over, and I was like, after you date a guy for 5 years, you kind of know what he looks like from behind, and you're I think... Yeah, that's him, and he's getting married right
that's
now.
That's Brad, and he's getting married. Oh, my God. So your favorite...
Wait, this is much more interesting than this stupid car.
So you figure he's not responsible for what's happened to this car in your estimation.
No, she's had it for a year.
Yeah,
oh, No. Not in the least. I just was curious, because usually when anything... I've always had other cars, and he's always been the one to say, oh, let me look at it, and he fixes it. But I don't have that freebie anymore. So
yeah.
I thought, you know, you guys are so smart. I should give you guys a call, and maybe you can tell me what it is.
No, we can tell you what it is, but you're not going to like it. Are you sure you don't have, like, one last phone call left to him that he can help you?
No, there's no last phone call.
No, huh? Well,
no.
If you're lucky,
yeah.
You are low on transmission fluid. Because that would explain just about everything that you've explained to us.
Yeah, what's wrong with that as an answer?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that as an answer. And
except that might be wrong.
Yeah, well, if it's wrong and you're not low on transmission fluid,
you're going to
be low on money because you're going to need to have the transmission rebuilt. Your condition here is symptomatic of a transmission that is searching for fluid.
Do you have any idea when the last time was that you put fluid into it?
Oh,
or even checked
or even
it.
Looked at it?
Never. That'd be a good answer.
Ah,
never. Ah, that's
but you,
good.
But you say you've had it in for, you had the battery replaced.
I had the battery replaced. And would it be something that they would do like on an oil change?
No.
No.
Oh, okay, then no. I mean, that's all I've ever had done is I had the battery change. And
all
had
right,
the oil change.
All you got to do is go back to wherever you went
okay.
and say, could you check my automatic transmission fluid for me?
Oh, okay.
And they'll say, sure.
And if they say, oh, it's down
Laura?
2 quarts, and they fill it up, you might be fine.
Oh.
If it is down 2 quarts, it means you have a leak. But if they put 2 quarts of fluid in and then it behaves perfectly, then you can go ahead and find out where the leak is and fix it. And you can keep this car maybe for another 8 or 10 years. Yippee!
Hey, you know, that's great.
Well, good luck and try to keep smiling.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Smiling. She's laughing her butt off.
See you, Laura.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Evelyn calling back from Philly.
Oh, Evelyn.
Evelyn.
Yes. So I just ran a 30-minute experiment.
Yes.
You suggested. So what we did, we took the car out on some very stop-and-go roads.
Uh-huh.
And I had the second driver just drive it a little bit first just to know what it feels like in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And then I took over for 15 minutes. And then we had the second driver get back in when I thought it was starting to have the problem.
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. And?
So it was definitely present for the second driver as well.
Uh-huh.
And it seems as though it only happens when you come to a complete stop, let the RPMs come all the way back down, and when you do a very slow start out of first.
And you do a slow start out of first, and it wants to...
Yeah.
And you can feel the whole car shaking.
Yes, almost like you're bucking, and then all of a sudden it sounds like it's going to stall, and you have to give it a lot of gas.
And it did this with the other driver.
Yep.
Oh, we're so happy.
Hey. Everyone,
it isn't you.
It's not me.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't you.
Ah, you did not. No, I think I was the one who accused you of being the culprit.
You were.
I apologize for that. So now we have to assume that it's something in the clutch.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
I mean, there's a possibility that it's something under the hood, that is, the engine is not performing right. It could be the check engine light isn't on or anything like that, is it?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. I'm assuming then that it isn't a bad airflow sensor, which could cause this. But I'm going to go back to my original position, and that is you have oil or something on the clutch.
I have another question for
you.
Yes, you talk about airflow sensors.
Yes.
So I had a Hyundai previously that had a bad sensor, and it would rev up as soon as you started it without hitting any gas or anything.
Yeah.
So this car has started to do the same thing. Do you think it's a bad sensor?
Oh, so now you're withholding evidence from us. Evelyn!
So you start it up and it revs way up high?
It does, on occasion, not all the time.
It does, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is all new to us.
You should have told us this in the beginning, maybe. I'm not sure it's going to change much of anything. But when it's misbehaving,
yes.
It's not doing this revving thing.
No.
And if you would have, you probably haven't done this, but if you were to just rev up the gas
mm-hmm.
and release the pedal, does it
mm-hmm.
rev up and come down normally?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking that that's a red herring.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I just wanted to have full disclosure.
Yeah, okay,
that's good.
Good.
Well, anything else?
No.
You sure?
It's the clutch.
Yeah.
It's the clutch.
Well, I think it could be the anti-chatter springs in the clutch that are causing this condition, or oil in the clutch, and I'm sticking with that.
All right, so should I just bring it in for a tune-up and to check
you
the
should,
clutch?
Yeah, and they're going to have to drive it under these conditions.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
There's a slim chance that the clutch is worn out, too.
Yeah.
That'd be bad.
That would be bad.
Okay.
Well, in any case, if it's the anti-chatter springs, or if there's oil on the clutch, or if the clutch is worn out, in all three of those cases, it's going to require that the transmission gets removed and a new clutch gets put in.
Yeah.
So it's going to cost a fortune
That's
no matter what.
That's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Okay.
No Christmas presents for anyone in your family this year. Send them the notice right now.
But if they tell you that that's what it is, don't worry about just driving it.
Okay.
And forget about it.
Well,
because you might go another 6 months before it really has to be replaced.
Yeah, and then you have to pay for the Christmas presents and the clutch in January.
Well, I have to say I am guilty of driving it for 6 months already, and it hasn't gotten any worse. So
it hasn't gotten any worse. Okay. Well,
no.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right. See you, Evelyn.
All right. Thanks.
Boy, oh boy.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Chris. I'm calling you from Evergreen, Colorado.
Hey, Chris, that's a nice name. Evergreen.
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 Yeah, we're in Ever Brown, New England.
Oh, Ever Brown.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Ever Cold.
Yeah, Ever Cold ever and Ever
cold.
Brown. So what's going on, Chris?
All right, I don't have a problem. I have a need for advice.
Well, you will have a problem after we give you the advice.
I'm afraid of that, but I'm going to go anyway.
Go.
All right.
So my wife and I have two huge cars. She has a Suburban and I have an Avalanche, and that's because we have four kids. And about six
uh-huh.
months ago, we... through an odd set of circumstances, came into possession of a 1985 Subaru DL wagon. And all of a sudden, we discovered that we loved having a car that doesn't get 12 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
And we don't care if we bash it into trees and
uh-huh.
small rocks. And so we thought, well, this is great. We've got a beater now. It's just what we need.
Why do you have two of these monster vehicles?
Oh, it's probably a foolish reason. We live up the side of a mountain. We have lots of kids and in-laws. And now we're stuck with them. You know, if we sell them, we're going to take a bath.
Oh, yeah.
What,
no,
the kids?
We tried selling
all
them.
All the vehicles.
All right.
Okay.
Now the problem is the Subaru won't pass this emissions test that we're required to have in Denver.
Picky.
Picky. And after spending $1,000 trying to get it to pass, now I'm so frustrated that I'm going to sell it. And so if you wanted to spend, say, about $2,000 on a car that you're going to drive, 3 miles a day, what would you buy?
Oh, I'd buy a Subaru wagon that would pass the emissions test. And this 85, this 85 probably has a carburetor on it.
It does. And
it
the guy
does.
Told me to get it to pass, now I need to rebuild the carburetor.
Oh.
And then he also said he looked underneath and the catalytic converter looked like someone had maybe got high-centered somewhere and it was maybe needing to be replaced as well.
Well, and unfortunately, I think this thing, if it's like I remember it, the catalytic converter is part of the front exhaust pipe, and it's expensive.
How much did you pay for this thing?
We paid $450.
And so far, you've put how much into it?
Maybe not quite $1,000, maybe $800.
Yeah, I think it's time to bail.
I think it's time to bail, too.
I think it's time to bail, too.
It's sitting in front of Safeway with white shoe polish on the wet dashboard. So I'm hoping that someone comes along and buys it from me.
No, I think you need a 95 Subaru.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. What's wrong with that? The body banged up.
Right.
Because you pay a lot less. I mean, people, we prize so highly in our society appearances that if you're willing to sacrifice appearance, you can get a lot of the other things, you know, that you ordinarily would have to pay a lot for. You know, so you can get an engine that runs good and a transmission and a clutch that are in good shape. As long as you're willing to get a car that's kind of banged up. And I mean, this is what my sister-in-law did. She chose Tommy. I mean, she wasn't going for looks, that's for sure. So you could do that.
Well, and the other advantage there might be that my son is about to turn 15, and you get your permit in Colorado at 15.
Oh, brother.
Well, and it's also nice for him to drive a car that has a couple of airbags.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so if you get something that was made in the latter half of the 90s, you're going to have something that has at least two airbags.
And you wouldn't be afraid if it had more than 100,000 miles? Would that be true?
No, I wouldn't be afraid.
Okay.
I mean, you're driving something that's got 180,000 on it, and you've been throwing money at this like a drunken sailor. So I think the 95 might be just what you need. And it has all-wheel drive, so you'll be able to get up and down the side of the mountain.
Exactly.
Yeah. And sell one of those monsters that you have.
Yeah, you may discover that, understandably, you can't put four kids and two adults. You know, but there's not many times when you have all four kids in the car, right?
No, there's not. I think one of those would be good.
And you could use the Suburban and get rid of the Avalanche, maybe, or vice versa. And one of these other cars that's a little more reasonable with gas might be just the thing.
Right. 12 miles to the gallon was getting old.
Yeah, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse.
I know.
See you, Chris.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks for your call. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour of your life listening to Car Talk.
Have I?
No, you're supposed to be participating. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the San Miguel, Hot Ficelle, Fresh Morel, Stuffed Gazelle, Duck Quenelle, Pasta Shell, Taco Bell, and Origel Noshantel is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our windshield wiper replacement team is Ike and Zeke Learley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our jewelry appraiser is Golda Meir. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the anarchist pedestrians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 747, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK. Or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we're looking for a name for our upcoming animated sitcom.
And here are some of the suggestions that we've seen so far. Mm. Ready?
Yeah.
Faces Made for Animation. Well, that has the advantage of being honest, I guess. The Crankshaft Diaries.
I like it.
Oh, how about, I like this one, The Missing Linkage.
Not bad. How about Pardon Our Exhaust? I like that.
Not bad.
And let's not forget, Bays of Our Lives.
Oh, that's my favorite. Look, if you'd like to chime in with a suggestion, the suggestion box is open all week at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
SitForLess.com, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair online, including the new color, True Black, sitforless.com. And
the Horace W. Goldsmith Foundation, supporting the Museum of Modern Art, now exhibiting drawings by Georges Seurat. More at moma.org. And
Allstate, who reminds you to let that call go to voicemail when you're driving, especially if it's your brother calling. More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands?
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even those stationery shops near the NPR building run out of resume paper right after we say it. This is NPR, National Public Radio.